Hey guys, it's the end of 2018, and that means it's time to go over all 2018 games that came out this year. Let's buckle in. Hey guys, welcome back to 8-Bit Archaeology. My name is Eric, and I love talking about video games. So, I've been doing the podcast now for the majority of this year, and I just want to, you know, thank everyone for the continued support and listening, and I'm going to close out 2018 with something a little bit different. It's not going to be my favorite 10 games from this year. It's going to be 10 games that I think everyone should give a shot on that came out this year. So I tried to exclude games that came out the year previously that I picked up or ones that were just ports from Wii U games or stuff like that. So I don't have much else to say besides that because I want to spend the majority of the episode talking about each game bit by bit. And, you know, I'm not going to go super in-depth because a lot of them I have talked about on the show before, but there are a couple on here that I haven't talked about that I want to elaborate on and why I think everyone should give these 10 games a chance. So the first game that I want to tackle on this list is a little game called Minute. Minute, I believe, was released on PC and it's available on Switch, and I would recommend getting it on Switch because of the nature of the game. So basically, this game is a sort of top-down 2D Zelda-like clone. Not exactly, but the whole hook of the game is that you pick up this cursed sword in the beginning that gives you a minute to live. So you have 60 seconds, and there's a countdown that happens, and you respawn in your home every 60 seconds. And what this game does really well is it's all about micromanaging tasks. You have to figure out how to maximize the amount of time that you have left before you die and respawn. And it sounds like a mechanic that at first it sounded really annoying to me, and I wasn't too sure about it. But as I got to play more of it, I found it to be more of a puzzle game than an adventure game because it's more figuring out optimal routes, how to interact with different things in the space of the game or on the map, and figuring out the best ways to traverse. So this game was really cute. The audio is all really funny. The design is pretty interesting too. It's all just white and black graphics. I wouldn't call it like 8-bit or anything like that. It sort of mimics the style of the old Zelda games, the old 2D Zelda games. So this one's definitely worth looking into. I'd pick it up on Switch. It's a good light title too. It only lasts a couple hours. So give this one a look-see. The next one I want to talk about is sort of another retro-inspired game, and that is Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. So this is brought to us by the guy who brought us Symphony of the Night and his new independent project. So Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon is a sort of 2D callback to Castlevania 3 is the one I believe that it resembles the most. And I've talked about this game before, I think back on the Spiritual Successors episode, and this game is sort of a tasting for what the actual full Bloodstained game is going to be like. So if you're a fan of 8-bit Castlevania games, I would highly recommend checking this out. It's pretty short. It's only a few hours, similar to Minute, but it's just the right amount of taste and challenge if you have a hankering to go through a 2D 8-bit Castlevania game while we wait for the real project to come out. Another smaller game, and I'm trying to make these games that are digestible in small bites, but then there are, at the end, there are some way larger ones. So I'm getting the shorter ones done in the front. Another one that everyone should pick up is called Florence. Now, this is actually a mobile game. You can get it on the iOS or Android store. And this game is about a budding relationship between a girl, Florence, and her boyfriend, Krish. And you basically go through the stages of their relationship from them meeting, the first date, to moving in together, to the eventual sort of conclusion of the entire game. Now, what's really interesting is that this game, the gameplay for this is sort of broken down into sort of small puzzle mini games. One of the most interesting mechanics about this is that the dialogue bubbles are actually formed together like puzzle pieces, and the way the puzzle pieces fit together, like the amount of them in a bubble or how they are all displaced, reflect how easy or tense a conversation is. So in the beginning, there's a lot of puzzle pieces because they're struggling to find the words to talk on their first date, but by the time that they've moved in together, you're putting together just two pieces of a puzzle for a word bubble because things have gotten super easy. And it's mechanics like that that make Florence very digestible and very relatable if you are at a point in your life where you sort of have gone through a serious relationship and know the sort of impact it can have on you. So I would highly recommend picking this up. This one, I think, will only run you about 45 minutes. And again, it's on your, you can play it on your phone. I highly recommend it. The music is astounding for it, too. So, okay. The next couple I have talked about ad nauseum. So I won't spend too long on them. The first one I want to talk about is Dead Cells. Now, what is Dead Cells? Dead Cells is a, surprise, surprise, 2D Metroidvania inspired by 16-bit graphics. Everyone probably knows what Dead Cells is, but this game is just fun for anyone who likes Metroidvania platformers with really interesting combat. Like, the combat in this game, I find, is what is actually the best about it, because I'm not good at it. I have not beaten it. I will probably never beat it. But what is so great about this game is its sort of feedback loop, where you go out and it's a roguelike too. So every time you die, you start over from the beginning, but you gradually unlock more permanent upgrades over time that increase not only your combat abilities, but allow you to reach parts of levels that you were not able to reach before. And this is also a highly skill-based game where the fighting is, well, you have to learn it over time. Each monster you encounter fights you in different ways, and you have to learn how to dodge, roll, and use different weapon loadouts that can increase or decrease the amount of damage you're doing based on color categories and all that stuff. So this is a really fun game that you can pop in, play a couple runs, and, you know, digest it in small chunks. This one is on all major platforms, I believe, and Switch. I highly recommend it on Switch just because of the portability factor. It runs super well on it. There's a couple frame hiccups here or there, but nothing that is game-breaking. So check this out if you love 2D-inspired Metroidvanias that have a heavy emphasis on combat and roguelikes. And let's see. Oh boy, big surprise here, guys. One game that this is a cheat, kind of. One game that came out this year on Switch was Hollow Knight, and I think everyone should give this game a shot. I don't care if you're not into 2D Metroidvanias, I don't care if you're into platformers, I think everyone should just give this game a shot. And it's not for everyone, but it's worth trying out. The world created through Hollow Nest in Hollow Knight is incredible and worth exploring. This game has pulled me in like no other Metroidvania has, even the original Metroids themselves. Everything in the game is hand-drawn, it has very intense combat sequences, but your character's movement systems are simple enough to understand at a glance, but hard to master. So there's a low threshold for entry, but there's a high level for mastery, if that's your sort of thing too. And just the subtle storytelling, the exploration, the art, the music, everything about this game is just beautiful. And it can get tough, but if you're willing to get over that difficulty hump, it is a journey worth taking through the halls of Hollow Nest. So I'm not going to harp on that game much longer at all. It is in my top, you know, like three games this year because of the amount of time I sunk into it and just how much I enjoyed it by the end and wanted more. So everyone, go pick up Hollow Knight and pick up the Switch version. It's best on the Switch, portability, all that good stuff. And I know but believe it or not, there are some games on this list that didn't come out on Switch, so I'll get to those soon. But any game that I can advocate to take on Switch, I would totally do that, especially these ones where you can sort of devour them in more bite-sized chunks. So let's keep going. So the next game on this list is a little bit different. It's a strategy game. It's not a platformer. It's not a Metroidvania. Surprise, surprise. It is Into the Breach. Now, Into the Breach came out originally on PC earlier this year and then was ported to Switch, so pick it up on Switch, that's all I'll say. But basically, this strategy game is from the makers of, I think it's, I'm drawing a blank on the name of their other game they made, but basically this is a really intensely hard strategy game where everything is sort of set up like chess. The hook for this game is, the premise is that you are sort of a team of mechs fighting off monsters that are causing the end of the world. Everything is laid out in sort of a chessboard pattern, like a typical strategy game, and the hook about this game is the fact of how it broadcasts information. A lot of other strategy games will leave some mystery behind what enemies are going to attack where they're going to move, all this stuff. Into the Breach doesn't do that. It gives you all the information up front. You're able to see, and in sequence, what is going to happen on your enemy's turn, and that is what makes it more like a game of chess than anything. It doesn't make it like XCOM, it doesn't make it like Fire Emblem, it makes it like chess, because there are a limited number of moves you can see that are going to happen next turn, and you have to react to them. And the goal of the game is not always to just kill the monsters, it's usually to survive a certain amount of turns with other other goals built in, whether it's protecting a certain building or destroying a certain amount of monsters or stuff like that. But for anyone who loves really intense strategy games, check this out, because it's another one where the missions take somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes. You basically have to wait out 5 turns each time, and then there are boss battles and exploring different islands. But what makes this game interesting too is the fact that you can, at any time, you can just abandon the timeline you're in and start fresh. And it also has multiple difficulty scales. Even at easy, when I first started this game, it was really tough. I did play through and beat it on easy, and I'm working through normal now, but the difficulty spikes are ridiculous. And it can be frustrating at entry because you don't know exactly what you're doing. So if you're going to pick up this one, I would suggest just maybe looking at a light tips video just to get you acquainted with what you're working with. But if you like giant mechs, beautiful 2D pixel art, a really beautiful orchestral soundtrack that makes it so this game isn't very anxiety inducing, then definitely check this one out on Switch. So next, and this one should really be no surprise since because I never, you know, stopped talking about the Switch, but Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Just picked this up a few weeks back, and I am absolutely loving it. I would not characterize myself as a typical Smash fan. I have played Melee here or there and some of Brawl, but I've never been super into Smash until this one. The barrier for entry in Smash is... I think it's pretty open, but there's obviously a high level of mastery that comes with all the competition play, and then there's contention between the Melee crowd and the people who like the new game. But if you just love fun video games where you get to bash on each other, then there's no better game than Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Also, just the amount of content in this game is ridiculous, from the amount of music in the game, the amount of stages, characters. The single-player campaign I'm not too fond of. I just found it to be more grindy than anything, so I've mainly just been playing with friends, and this game is just the perfect game for couch co-op. If you love a celebration of video game history and Nintendo characters and other franchises as well, this is a no-brainer. Pick this up on your Switch, you'd be doing yourself a disservice to not. And go bash on your friends a bit. So, I'm gonna go a little left-wing here, and we're gonna talk some main AAA console games. So, I just beat God of War earlier today, and my god, this game is phenomenal. The story, mainly what had me hooked, out of all things, was the story. The exploration, the environments, the characters are all fantastic. Combat is amazing. The Leviathan Axe is one of the best weapons in video games in recent years, hands down, and just from the way you can throw it, call it back, the sort of crunchy feel as you're fighting through different hordes of enemies, and then hitting all the story beats is just phenomenal. The relationship they were able to convey between Kratos and Atreus just through video game cutscenes is incredible. The voice actors are great. This game is just like, everyone should play this game. It just takes a 10-year-old franchise and turns it on its head into a really, really amazing story about the relationship between a father and a son. And that may not be something that, you know, I'm not a father, and I may not be able to relate to Kratos specifically, but it still tugs at your heartstrings a bit too, because there's some other family notes in there that, if you can relate to them, hit home hard. So everyone who has a PS4, pick this up. I've been playing on my roommate's PS4, and I was lucky enough that he had the game already, so I was able to play through it, and it's just fantastic. So recently, and this is probably going to change the content of the podcast a little bit, I picked up an Xbox One. It was on sale, and I said Merry Christmas to me, and I picked up an Xbox One S. I got the Xbox. I would have gotten the PS4 if my roommate didn't already have one, so I got the Xbox to supplement my own AAA titles, and one that I've been sinking a ton of time into the last week is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Now, believe it or not, this is actually my entry point into the Assassin's Creed series, but what really drew me in is how, A, it's based on Greek history. It involves Sparta, Athens. Your main character is a Spartan, of Spartan descent, and basically, you know, I don't know too much about the actual real world lore of Assassin's Creed, but I'm like entrenched in the Greek world so much. I just keep coming back to it, doing side missions. The exploration in this game is great. What really has me hooked is the fact that it's similar to Breath of the Wild, that you can climb anything, and it's amazing, and there's no stamina, and when it rains you don't fall. It's not on the same level as Breath of the Wild to me, but it's a really good taste of it. This is the first open world game, and I would call this one open world. It's not very linear. There are linear story beats, but based on the progression and the leveling system in the game, you have to do some of the side quests to be able to realistically take on the story missions. So it gives you incentive to try side missions, and the voice acting is all really well done. The facial animation in this game is astounding. And just being able to crawl through ancient Greece, or, you know, a sort of fictionalized version of it, is so much fun. So this is one I highly recommend on any of your AAA consoles. Go pick it up. So, the last game that I want to talk about is actually my game of the year, and it's one that I've talked about extensively on the podcast before, and that is Celeste. I'm not going to harp on this game forever, but this game hit hard with me. It's a 2D platformer that deals with issues like depression and anxiety and overcoming those things, because the entire game and the gameplay is one big metaphor for the main character Madeline's journey of climbing this mountain and overcoming a challenge that everyone says that she can't do. This game is for anyone who struggles with mental illness or has yet to come to terms with their own, or even just loves hardcore platforming like Meat Boy. The art is amazing, the exploring through the platforming mechanics is awesome, the controls are tight, and the music is amazing. I continuously listen back to this soundtrack because it just makes me feel better, and it makes me feel accomplished. I actually did a second playthrough of this at the end of this year just to see if it held up, and it's definitely my game of the year. So go check out Celeste. Again, I recommend it on the Switch. It's available on all other platforms, but I think you should check it out there for portability factors, and it's just amazing. So go check this out. Oh, also, this game is highly accessible for anyone because there are a number of assist tools that let you change the difficulty of the game. So if you're having trouble getting through a certain part, you can tweak the physics of the game to make it easier for yourself, whether it's making yourself invulnerable or slowing down the game's speed to 90 so you have more time to react. It has a lot of tools that make it accessible. So that's why I also highly recommend this, because it means that you can move through this game at your own difficulty setting. So that's going to be it for us at 8-Bit Archaeology this year, guys. Stay tuned in the new year for new episodes based on what I'm playing, all that good stuff. I want to thank everyone for supporting me throughout the year and continuing to listen and hearing me rant about video games and how much I love the Nintendo Switch. But now that I have another console, hopefully that conversation will change a little bit. But yeah, you can find us at 8BitArch on Twitter. You can email us at 8bitarch@gmail.com. And you can join the Discord. The link is in the show notes for that. And I hope everyone has a fantastic end of the year. I will see you guys in the new year. Catch you next time.